It's B-Maz and Beamer. Now, Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
B-Maz and Beamer joining you here on WBEN. Welcome in with us. Great to have you. Thanks for being here. And, you know, hopefully, well, I loved, you know, if you were paying attention yesterday, you were listening to our show.
Yes.
Joe had some car issues, and I tried to give him some confidence. Like, you know, you can figure something out here. You can do it. You're not, you know, totally
right,
helpless or anything with this. And what did I like to see? Not 5 minutes after we got off the air, Joe was under his hood. He was taking a look.
With one of our engineers who's really good at cars. And, yeah, it's still having its issues this morning there, Brian.
Yeah, but you gave it a shot.
I gave it a shot by asking Nate if he could take a look at my car.
Yeah.
And he did.
You were in there, too.
And he confirmed that he believes that it's an electrical issue.
Did you grab something, jiggle it around?
He did. I didn't do anything.
You got to just, you know, just
I opened the hood
something.
And I put the thing under the hood.
Get a little bit of dust on your hands, and then you can say you did something.
Right, yeah. And I should have just fibbed a story.
Wiggle, you know, but something.
He says it's electrical, so at least we have a part that we didn't know this time yesterday.
I was glad to see you under the hood.
Well, thank you, Brian.
That's all. You know, that's all. It's the idea that counts.
It's a step up from where we were at this point.
Exactly. That's what I like to see.
Now, I'll tell you, though, still that stress at 4 in the morning, because today it took three times of going before it finally turned on. And I was very excited. I mean, I was one more crank away from having to, you know, go upstairs and tell my wife that she needed to drive me to work.
Say, you could have called me. I mean, I wouldn't have got you.
I was going to say,
you could have called me. So let me know.
Right.
Hey, my car won't start. I'm like, it stinks. Well, right. I'll see you in 30 minutes. I don't know how you're going
to
get here.
I'll just tell you, hey, when you hear George Norrie sign off, you got to start talking because No one's there to put you on the air.
I was amazed, Joe. We've been talking about this throughout the week.
Yes.
Off the air mostly. And then today was like I guess it's the big kickoff. It's the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. Happening outside of Buckingham Palace, I think. But it's, you know, it's the kickoff of what I'm being told right now by the BBC World News is a week long party.
This is the first I'm hearing of it. I thought it was just today.
All throughout, right? All throughout England and the UK, this Platinum Jubilee party. And throughout the week, we've been saying, you know, like, wow, this is like getting a lot of airtime here in the U.S., like on American morning news, like tens of minutes. And today was like an hour.
Oh, yeah.
The whole flyover, the everything. I mean, it was like 30 minutes straight of the Queen.
The cable news networks, like there's nothing going on in America. That's all they are. That's all. And like I asked you off the air, how many American networks are at this? I mean, are there any other countries that are at this event? It seems like every American network, unless they're in front of a green screen like The Daily Show.
There's more American networks there than, I mean, like BBC 1, 2, 3, 4 are there, but everyone else is onto something else.
Yeah, right.
I think.
There's other stuff going on. Look at this. I mean, they're going crazy.
But they're going crazy, and this was on, and, you know, my initial reaction is, like, why are we talking about, which is still kind of my reaction, You know, does this warrant an hour of the morning national news in America on celebrating 70 years of the Queen over in the UK?
Right. There's a
not
lot
my
going
queen.
A lot going on in America.
Yeah.
Hashtag not my queen.
Yes. And I still kind of think that. But I will say this. So I'm watching this, and, you know, I heard somebody mention this maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I've, you know, gone back and forth with this idea. And I think I've done, like, a full 180 on the Queen. Because I was very, not that I was anti-Queen or anti-royal family, but I just could not care less about it. I thought it was silly to still have it there. You know, they don't really hold any power.
Yeah.
To just have this figurehead of a monarchy. Like, why do people who live in a democracy want even the reminder? You know, why is this still a thing, period?
Right.
And then I'm watching this, Joe. And I got to say, I kind of like the Queen now. I'm like, I might even go as far as to say I wish we had a Queen.
Oh, come on.
I wish we had a Queen here in America. One, she looks like a nice lady. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know much about the Queen.
I'm sure she is. She's done nothing for 70 years.
A little old lady, looked nice, you know, had a smile on her face.
Collect money from 14 countries. Yeah, this sounds great.
But I'm watching this party and the people lining the streets, and I see this huge alleyway and this sea of people. And look, you're seeing it right now, all these people being interviewed. You've got Union Jacks hanging from the light posts. You've got everyone dressed in. That lady was wearing a Union Jack bow tie. This person's got a flag on her hat. The flag draped across her body.
She's wearing it too, yeah.
Everyone's got their flags. They're waving them. It a sea of people. It's humongous. All to just wave to the Queen, say happy 70th at the throne. And I'm like watching this saying, I kind of wish we had something like that here. Because I can't imagine any one thing in America that would elicit that response. And the role of the Queen, which for years I just kind of like was, you know, whatever, you just sit there, you do nothing, you're some sort of figurehead. You know, the president will go over there once every other year and meet with you.
Right.
Have a cup of tea. You know, you're a reminder of something that happened a long time ago. But no, I understand it very differently right now.
Okay.
And I love this idea, Joe, of the Queen, because while politics have become so divisive, it's not just an American problem. These two sides couldn't get any more apart. It's, you know, the people who have their feet so entrenched in politics are, they have a hard time seeing any good in one another. It's hard to rally around any one issue as Americans and feel a sense of community as a country. And we see that time after time again, these big news stories. I mean, it's seemingly nothing can just totally bring us together where we can put aside our differences.
Right.
And, you know, that problem in politics, that's not just a uniquely American problem. They have that problem everywhere around the world.
Right.
They have that problem
in England.
Over in England.
Yes.
There's two sides going, you know, pushing back and forth. You know, they went through the whole Brexit thing. Half the country thought the other half of the country was stupid, depending on what side of that issue you're on.
Right.
There's still that divisive politics. But then they have this other figure. The president used to, I'm told, because I feel like I've never seen it. But I've been told this is what it used to be like, you know, many decades ago.
The country would come around the president?
Yes, would gather generations around. Ago in America. Yes. Even if you didn't like the president, you supported him, right?
Respect for the office.
And there was, yeah, it was a figurehead. Once that president was in office, that person was the figurehead of the country. That person was, you know, as you said, respect for the office. And that's kind of what they have in the Queen. Where, all right, our politics might be divisive. You might hate the prime minister, and that person is not bringing people together anymore. But you know who is?
The Queen.
The Queen. We have this other thing that people can still look at, and regardless of what side you're on politically, you have one person that everyone says, like, yeah, there's our queen. Like, there's our person. There's our leader. Even though they're, you know, not technically the leader. They're not a legislative leader.
No.
They're like
they have no power.
They're a spiritual leader of the country, in a way. They carry the spirit. And that leads to something like what we just saw all over TV this morning. It leads to, in times of crisis, instead of your prime minister in that case, or in our case, the president, speaking, and then it doesn't matter what they say. I mean, you've seen it with our president over the past couple of weeks. Moments that should bring together a nation. And I thought the president did everything he could. to bring together a nation. And you still will have a huge part of the country just saying, well, I'll never listen to anything this guy says. And that doesn't matter if it's Biden or Trump or Obama. You can keep going.
Right.
All the way back to, you know, really it took one of the worst events in this country, 9/11, for us to be united like that.
Right.
And ever since then, it's slowly waned away to back where we are today. But they've got that one person who can send a message, rally people around it. And after watching that today and seeing the scene in England, everyone waving the flag together, this huge crowd of people, I've done a 180 on the Queen. I love the Queen. I think it's a great idea. Brian, I want a Queen.
Brian, I mean, this is against everything we fought for 200 some years ago,
but
Brian.
But it's not like that. And, you know, I would have said the exact same thing even 6 months ago, right? You know,
6 days
ago. What it was 1776 for, or,
right.
You know, something like that.
What are we celebrating?
You know, just like everything in life, it's not 1776 anymore. It's many years later. And, right, it is something different that it's no longer a monarchy like a dictatorship. Like I said, it is somebody who kind of represents the spirit, the soul of a country, the way that our figureheads used to do, the way that I'm sure George Washington did back in the day.
Right.
The way that Abe Lincoln, the way that the country rallied around FDR during the war, and so many presidents that came before and after. And I don't know if that's going to happen again, but that probably won't happen again in politics over there. But they got the one person who can bring everything together.
Well, it's the Queen now. You know, I was going to ask you this: does Charles and his wife, when they take over the throne, have that same uniting power that Queen? I think Queen Elizabeth, as you said, seemed like such a nice. I'm not sure anyone else in that family is well liked.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's somebody on our text board. You can weigh in. Do you love the Queen like me now? 803-0930. You can send us a text or give us a call. But somebody chimed in saying, well, they got lucky with the Queen. And like I said, I don't know much about the Queen, only you know what I see.
Right.
It seems like a nice lady. Someone said, they got lucky the Queen is unique. I'm not sure they'll ever find a person in this world
with
the strength to stand by you know, whatever they believe in for 70 years. And, you know, maybe that's a point. Maybe if, you know, once it's somebody who's not this queen, you know, whoever that person is, you know, maybe it's not the same. Maybe, you know, people start to turn their back on whoever it is. I don't know who it is. I don't even know enough about the queen.
She's been in power for 70 years. I do know that.
I'm just saying, and don't, you know, I see already people taking my words as, like, I'm not saying you should have a dictator. No. The Queen is not, again, the Queen doesn't have any power. That's the beauty of what it is over there. The Queen doesn't have any power, but almost serves as if we could have somebody in the role of a uniter in chief. That's what the Queen is, really.
See, I feel, and this is because I've been thinking of this over since you brought this up a few days ago. You know, what in America do we rally around like those in the United Kingdom rally around the Queen? And I have failed to find that. But I also believe that we are past that point, Brian, because we are so divided now. If you put someone in that role, you would still have half the country find something wrong with that person. That is just where we are in 2022.
And you know me, Joe, I don't 100% buy into the divided talk.
Right.
I think that on a, you know, sure, on a macro level, you could say that the country is divided.
Politically divided.
And that there's two, yeah, politically divided. Even that, you know, maybe I would say I'd put Chris Jacobs is a great example this week of
yes.
Some pushback on that. You don't have to be black and white, red or blue. And I think there's a greater sense of community in our communities
yes.
Than we do realize just by watching TV.
I will agree with that.
But at the same time, to your point, that scene that we saw there, everybody waving their red, white, and blue, the huge crowd of people, I think if we went to the moon and back, you know, the moon, I think if we went to Mars and back again, I don't think you'd see the same outpouring of support and, you know, national pride.
As we did for the moon?
Yeah, or as they did right there today, this morning, in the UK. It's 2022, and that's the response you're getting. I don't know. What else do you get that response for? What do you get that response for here in America?
That's what I've been trying to think. I mean, I was going to say, but no, this is stupid. I was going to say something like Olympics, but we don't even rally that much for Olympics. I mean, you know, for big nation sport defeats, we don't even rally around as a nation like you just saw here.
That's a perfect, you know, okay, we win Olympic men's basketball, and everyone just like, yeah, well, we're supposed to, or I
right.
hate LeBron,
yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, hey, Michael Phelps is the greatest. Yeah, but he smokes pot, you know, I don't, you know. It's always something with, you know, some people. I don't know if you can really find that thing, right?
Can we talk about how quickly that people got out of that? I mean, that was quicker than New Year's Eve in New York City.
It was quicker than 4,000 people at the Outer Harbor on Sunday. We'll go to the phones, 803-0930. John, you're on WBEN. John, I've gone 180 on the Queen after watching this display of nationalism today. What do you think?
I understand totally with what you guys are saying, because I feel the same way. I'm on and off about a queen and the kingship, the queenship of different countries over the time periods. It's very interesting, and this queen is so different than any other king and queen ever. And she just like keeps her own. They have their money, their power of influence, what they can do in the world, but at the same time, they don't have the power to say how to act, react, and they just do their systems. In years past, of course, in centuries, and what went on is when it was kingship, queenship, and you said something indifferent that your citizenship did not like, you would be killed. It was a coup of the coming in, and they're going to kill you, like the czars of Russia, and you know, many, many different, you know, courtships of the past. And she just like holds her own, and she's such a beautiful lady. It's like amazing.
John, I appreciate the call, and it's, you know, this is kind of I'm looking at it in the lens of 2020. You know, we're not talking about monarchies in the past or one-person rule at all. The role of the queen in 2020, on paper, I look at it, Joe, and I think we're in the same boat. On paper, I look at it and I say, this is the stupidest thing ever.
Yes.
But seeing it in action this morning,
it is nice to see country pride.
I'm full. I'm there, right? I'm there. I like it. It's people who may disagree with each other politically. They might have completely different visions for how the future of that nation is supposed to look like.
But they have respect for the queen.
And in that, they have respect for each other and the country, and they're waving the same flag.
However, you know me. I have been obsessed with the financials of the royal family all morning, Brian. And the money this family brings in, I'm telling you.
It's stupid.
I mean, hey, you can say what you want in Washington. We all know corrupt and money, yes. But the queen, who has no power, has not had any power her entire platinum jubilee, is worth $600 million. I mean, good for her.
Or how much does she get a year?
Well, that's between 15 different countries. They bring in a lot, but that's the whole family that brings in, and that's distributed through everybody except for Harry and Meghan, of course. That's distributed between everybody.
Okay.
She's worth $600 million. She also has over $1 billion in different assets.
How much would you pay for that sense of unity?
Well, that's a great question. And what about our Canadian friends who are paying $62.5 million a year for the royal family? Is it worth it?
What would you rather spend it on, unity or the Central Terminal?
Hey, I'll get as much use out of either.
B-Maz and Beamer, 803-0930 to join us. And we'll be back on WBEN.
It's B-Maz and Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
All right, B-Maz and Beamer back here on WBEN. We'll get to the phones in just a moment. Thank you for holding on, 803-0930. You know, Joe, I'm sure tomorrow or the next day or sometime soon, I'll be back to my, you know, the Queen and the monarchy in England.
Yes.
That's everything that, you know, we don't stand for. And the institution itself has no place here in America.
That's right, Brian.
But, you know, Joe, for today, maybe I'm just a prisoner of the moment or the current climate, but I love the Queen.
Well, according to America Media, you are in the majority because literally every news outlet has multiple people in London.
I've seen more of the Queen this morning than I have my entire life. Dave is in Lockport. Now you're on WBEN. Dave, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the Queen this morning. It says here you studied in London. What did you learn about the Queen there?
Well, first of all, I was at the Polytechnic of Central London, and I was studying international broadcasting. And the teacher said, the Emperor of Japan is visiting today, and the Queen and the Emperor will be in a parade, so get the hell out of here and make sure you go down and see that. And we did. And, you know, that was quite brave of her, because there was many British veterans of World War II that didn't care for the Emperor of Japan too much because they felt they were horribly mistreated. So she's brave. If you're a boomer, and I am indeed a boomer, she's like a mother substitute. My mother and the Queen were about the same age. The Queen has lived a lot longer than my mom. I'm 12 days older than Prince Charles, so I always felt there was a mix-up in heaven when they set the babies down. They got me upset, you know, because I would be a good king if given the chance. But the deal with the everything British and everything royalty, Britain is a theme park, and the theme is royalty. And on top of that, I want to ask you, gentlemen, the next time you check out at a local supermarket and all those tabloids are there, every tabloid is featuring something about the royal family. So I just wanted to say, like it or not, we're still a colony.
Hey, you know, Dave, thanks for the call and the insight. Someone chimed in on our text board, 803-0930, that, you know, for as much as the Queen, the royal family, still is taking money from England and a whole bunch of other nations, it's a boon to tourism. I mean, for the things you mentioned there.
That's true.
The guard walking around Buckingham Palace, yeah. You know, all these things. I mean, that's, you go to England, for a lot of people, it's probably what you're hoping to see.
The royal family?
Or just the where they live. You know, some of the things that are around that culture or so. It's almost like, you know, the Statue of Liberty or the Empire State Building.
But do you think, you know, because this is another thing I was thinking of, Brian, is that I feel the royal family eventually will not be the royal family. Like, eventually people are going to say, this is nice, but, you know, come on, let's get with the times.
I don't know. I mean, you think you would have ended up there already.
It's a great point.
Regardless of, you know,
it's
time.
True.
I can't see what might change that in the future.
An economic depression.
Listen, they've been through quite a few of those.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know why that would change. They've got, this institution. And I am finding myself today looking at, if you've turned on a TV this morning, you've probably seen it. This just incredible nationalism from the people over in the United Kingdom this morning, lining up, I mean, thousands and a sea of people all standing together, wearing their red, white, and blue,
mm-hmm.
waving their Union Jacks, all to kind of celebrate. And this is where, you know, people can agree or disagree. Certainly, there's a lot of people who know more than me when it comes to this. But, you know, yes, they're celebrating the Queen, but I think they're kind of celebrating their country in a way. And I just, I look at that, I'm trying to think of what in the world would bring us together like that, that isn't some sort of cataclysmic event. You know, that's the idea here.
Right.
In celebration, not in, you know, unity after something horrible. And I really can't think of it. And it has me a little jealous this morning of what they have with the Queen, which I never have been before. But you have this institution that's kind of political, but it's not. It's separate from the parties. And you can still have your political disagreements. But at the end of the day, you have somebody who's kind of the, I don't want to say a moral compass of the country, but who represents the flag more than they do any sort of ideology.
A patriotic figure. That's exactly what the royal family is. And I agree with that part of it. I am jealous that they have something that they can that will regularly bring them together. And that is something the Queen and other members of the royal family do. They bring the country together. And I mean, hey, you know, I remember when the Queen visited Canada a few years ago, and, you know, hey, it brought Canada together.
Yeah, that's right. It was a huge fanfare.
Yes, yeah.
Someone chimed in. Joe, you mentioned this earlier, a Stanley Cup or a Super Bowl. You know, you'd
in
see
Buffalo,
the same things. But that's the big difference, right?
Right.
That's in the city, yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, it would be incredible. But throughout the nation, you know, what's making people, you're not going to be waving the American flag there. You're going to be waving Bill's flags, you know,
or still the red, white, and blue
flags. But it's not the same,
right?
As in, you know, these ticker tape parades when they return from the moon or something like that. You know, you used to have this sense, or even, you know, the president arriving anywhere where you are, right in your town. The president comes, there's, you know, a parade, there's people lining the street. You know, this is way back when.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah, not in my lifetime.
Things changed. But just that sense of like, wow, the president is coming here. You know, red, white, and blue, let's throw a parade. It's not just the people who like the president. It's
Americans.
Little bit of everybody.
Yeah.
The head of state is coming here to our town. Like, this is.
Bum, 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 bum,
yeah.
Bum, yeah.
You don't get that anymore. They have that over there, and
it is refreshing to see. Again, I wish we had something that patriotically brought us together, because it seems like even on the most patriotic of holidays, that those days don't bring us together as the Queen has brought the people of Great Britain together this morning.
Someone mentioned the 4th of July, and okay, I like that as an example. It's a sense of patriotism for a lot of people. It brings people together all across the country to celebrate the country on that one day. And the 4th of July accomplishes that.
That's a day, yeah.
It's somewhat of the same idea. You know, it doesn't have to be a person or, you know, one figurehead. I'm just kind of looking for that.
But are we all getting together on the 4th of July to celebrate America?
Yeah.
Are we? Are we cramming streets to celebrate America on the 4th of July?
I mean, not to... parades aren't as popular as they used to be.
Right.
But
I mean,
fireworks shows. The fireworks shows and everything. Like, there's a lot of people
I still don't think it
turn
it,
out for that.
Yeah. I mean, again, that is a day. But you're right. I mean, that does bring America together. You see a lot of red, white, and blue. You see American flags out on people's front porches. Yeah, the 4th of July.
I like that as an example. If there were to be a figurehead, do you think there's anyone living or a notable figure now who would be that person? If you had to say, all right, there's going to be a king or queen of the U.S., you know, in the sense, you know, it's 2022, not a ruler, but that national figurehead, the patriotic person, right, who's going to unite the country, who everybody is going to like. Who would be that person?
That's a tough one. Who do you have?
It's The Rock. That's why people want him to run for president.
You know, I was thinking The Rock, and I was.
That's the only people, or that's the only reason people want him to run for president.
Yeah.
That's the only reason his name gets brought up. Why? Because he's likable.
Yep.
By everybody.
Still could have done without the promo before the Super Bowl, but yes, he's very likable.
But you know what I'm saying? There's a reason they brought him out for that.
Yes. It's,
here's somebody.
That's not going to, yeah.
That everybody kind of likes, that everybody thinks can speak with some sort of authority a little bit, who's a national figure. And, you know, why were people saying, oh, The Rock for president? I mean, this was in magazines. They were asking him, seriously, hey, would you consider a run for president? He has no policy position. He's never articulated any, you know, right, a direction for the country at all. They do it because, hey, you're somebody who people kind of want to rally behind. That's the one person that kind of sticks out in my head. Of course, I'm only thinking of, you know, super famous people right now that are popping to my head.
Well, yeah, I mean, anyone else you mentioned would be circumstantial if they're not super famous and everyone knows them. It's funny, I was thinking The Rock, but I thought you were going somewhere else, and now I can't even think of where else you would go, because you're right. I mean, anyone else that's out there, unlike The Rock, has taken policy positions.
Someone saying many towns in Western New York cram in the street for 4th of July parades, including Grand Island.
There it is.
There's a difference between that, though, and like what we saw today.
Yes, exactly.
I want all the towns to get together. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of thing. Someone said Tom Hanks. Everyone likes Tom Hanks.
Mm.
You don't like Tom Hanks?
I don't think he's as liked as The Rock in 2022.
Really? I do. He played Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers.
You
would
are
be
taking
that guy.
Words out of my mouth. I was going to say I liked him in the Mr. Rogers movie.
But there's a reason he played Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers, a guy who everybody likes. You need someone who everybody likes.
We need a Mr. Rogers.
Who can? Mr. Rogers is our version of the Queen.
Yeah.
Who can we all look at?
Fred Rogers.
Who can tell us something?
Won't you be my neighbor?
Rally behind. Yes. I mean, that's the message. If that was a political platform, that person would win.
Won't you be my neighbor?
Won't you be my neighbor? Hello, neighbor.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of politicians.
Take your shoes off when you walk in the house.
Is there one politician that people universally like that's alive today? Like, is there someone with a party?
Jimmy Carter? Is that a, you know. Yeah. I don't know personal opinions on Jimmy Carter enough to.
I think everyone's like, well, you know, he's still around. He was president.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no.
You think if Reagan was still around, people would be like, oh, there's
no, not at all. He has turned into the divisive. And to, I would say, very little of his own doing. Because right. Republicans have used him as their, you know, this is our guy.
Right.
This is like, he's still kind of a spiritual figurehead for a part of the country. So, you know, the other side is going to look at him and say, well, all right, so there's the enemy right now. I mean, you can't even do that with him.
So it's a good way to put it. I'm trying to think. In politics, like now, someone that's in Washington, D.C., I don't think you have that figure that people on both sides of the political aisle will say, yeah, you know what? I can get behind this guy or this lady.
But do you see what I'm saying? You know, I mean,
I get what you're saying. Of course I
get what you're saying. I made that 180 this morning. I just like the scenes.
You got me hung up on The Rock now, trying to think of someone else. I can't do it.
He's the guy. He's the guy who I would like that. But I also think that it is, and somebody chimed in with this a while ago on our text board about, you know, the polarization of what we're doing. And it all comes back to, right, this technology.
You're really good at finding text.
Of somebody saying that the reason why we can't rally together anywhere is partly because of we're divided on certain issues, and the difference today is that 24/7, whether it's through cable TV networks or I would just say more frequently on your phone that you carry around in your pocket all the time, you're constantly being reminded of the things you disagree with somebody with. Instead of just kind of going about your day, there's no getting away from it anywhere, the divisive issues. Because if you really think of it, how many truly divisive issues are there? There's not a lot. I mean, there really is not a ton. There are a few hot points. We've been talking about guns and weapons over the past couple of weeks here. The abortion debate, that's going on and that was reignited just a couple of months ago. But these topics that really get people fired up, that people have a big opinion on,
right,
are very few and far between. There's only a handful of examples of things that really separate people. You're reminded about, and those few issues are talked about constantly, maybe they're presented in somewhat of a different light, and you see it over and over again, and you're reminded of people who are talking about that one thing over and over again, and you agree with that person or you disagree with that person, and then it just kind of plays into your head, right? And you're left with this feeling that everyone is so far apart from each other, which, again, I think isn't all that true, but I do think it is more true than ever because we're always thinking about
On those hot issues.
You're focusing on what divides instead of what you have in common.
See, you should run for
office. That's what they did in the UK today.
You should run for office.
No, thanks. This is what they did in the UK today. They focused on what do we have in common?
We're Americans.
I didn't vote for this guy. Neither of us voted for this queen. She's just been there my entire life. 70 years. And, you know, we're still here.
That's right.
So
is she.
Let's get out there. Yeah. You know, let's rally around each other.
See, your message of uniting, I think, would be a great platform. I think that'd be better than... Well, that is kind
of... The problem is everyone's got the message. Nobody does it.
Yeah, but you just... The way you just articulated it, come on.
Brian for queen? Is that what you're trying to say?
No. That's Brian for some small-level office and then work your way up.
No, thanks. Dolly Parton. Somebody's saying everyone likes Dolly Parton. You know, sure.
Queen Dolly?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Anytime you mention anyone country music, you have the people who's, country music. I hate country.
But Dolly Parton was the first country music star that was able to go through all genres. People that didn't like country liked Dolly Parton. I think that is true.
I don't know if... What's a Dolly Parton song that...
No, I mean, I think she had country music, yes, but it played on, at the time, what was top 40 radio.
Yeah, okay.
Like 9 to 5 is a well-known country song that if you never heard country music, you'd know 9 to 5.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if people liked it.
They know it. And they know who Dolly Parton is.
They know it.
She did a song with Miley Cyrus.
We're lowering the bar here. You don't have to like me, you know me.
I started up here. We're moving down. Can I say something before we get out of here? And this is gonna upset some people here at Odyssey, and I apologize. I think Hawaiian Shirt Friday is stupid. And I just wanted to voice that on this show.
Why?
Why? I don't know. It just...
Tell you who's never going to be the uniter in chief.
Yeah, me.
Yeah.
Not a fan of Hawaiian Shirt Day. I don't get it. Hawaiian shirts are supposed to be worn at
now,
the beach.
Now, is that because you don't have a Hawaiian shirt that fits you anymore?
Oh, that is a... no more Brian uniting us. Jeez.
I'm just saying, it's been 80 degrees. You're wearing sweatshirts here every day.
Oh, my God. Dagger to the heart. Yes, Brian, it's because I can't find a Hawaiian shirt that fits me.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to...
You got Jimmy going crazy in there.
I'm trying to pick the threads here that work together.
I didn't like Hawaiian shirts. I think Hawaiian shirts are for vacation or, you know, you're at the beach or in Vegas. Wearing them every Friday, what is that going to make me forget that we're working? I don't know. I don't need what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know.
Sorry.
This texter agrees with me.
I don't mean to,
point out that I'm fat? Well,
no,
you did.
Push
Thanks,
back on you so vigorously, but the second you start giving tips on what people should and shouldn't wear, I put that wall up right away.
This is the person who
wore gym shorts over wind pants into work one day.
Yeah, I was a lot thinner then. I wish I could wear. I wish those wind pants would still fit me.
Gym shorts over wind pants, but the Hawaiian shirt is only good for certain occasions.
Hey, that's my opinion. The show is B-Maz and Beamer. I think my opinion's allowed.
It is allowed.
Hawaiian shirts are stupid, and your rebuttal's allowed. That's why both our names are on the show.
There we go. I expect you in that shirt tomorrow.
Hawaiian?
Yeah.
The one that doesn't fit me?
Yep.
You want to see my gut hanging
out? Picture day. B-Maz and Beamer. We'll be back tomorrow on WBEN.